reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Barnabas continued on from Perga and reached Antioch and Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and took their seats. Many Jews and worshipers who were converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and with violent abuse contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth.'" The Gentiles were delighted when they heard this and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, and the word of the Lord continued to be spread throughout the whole region. The Jews, however, incited women of prominence who were worshipers and the leading men of the city and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went on to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Then one of the elders said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of the great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they stand before God's throne and worship Him day and night in His temple. The one who sits on the throne will shelter them. They will not hunger or thirst anymore, nor will the sun or any heat strike them. For the Lamb who is the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I guess it goes without saying that we live in an age that's really flooded with information, all kinds of communication media, high-tech communications. We have instant communications through our iPhones. I know somehow or another I got talked into an iPhone this year, and this past week, I kept getting the beep, beep, beep because I have an app for CNN, and so every 10 minutes they're telling me what's going on in Boston. People around me were saying, gee, you got a lot of friends. I said, no, but I got a lot of news. And if you need an answer to a question, of course, just go online. So, you know, all of those kind of things are out there for us. Sometimes, though, I think a lot of these things, it's not just news programs, but it's basically news entertainment half the time, especially some of the talk shows and stuff that are going on, and people passing on things as information, but whether they're really fact or not, who's to tell sometimes. And, you know, occasionally we have a conversation with people and somebody says something, you know, well, I heard such and such, and, you know, you kind of look at them and say, well, who are you listening to? Where'd you get that from? Who told you that? Or where are you getting your information? You know, parents, of course, fear this principle because, you know, the children come home and saying, well, I heard such and such or whatever. And often, of course, parents are concerned, rightly so, that especially very young children are very vulnerable to what they're hearing, very impressionable. But the bottom line is we're just being bombarded constantly, aren't we, by all kinds of voices and information. And in the midst of all of this, we come for worship tonight. And what are we confronted with but a gospel where Jesus the shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. Well, how in the world are we to hear that voice in the midst of so many other voices? That's a real crisis that we have, crisis of faith that we face in these days. I think often enough people, it's not that they don't really believe in Christ, but they haven't heard him sometimes. There's so much noise, so many other things, so many things that go around us. You know, last year when I was doing some travel out of the country, a friend loaned me their Bose system. And they said, you just wear these on the plane and you won't hear a thing. And I thought, oh yeah, well, I mean, but sure enough, I couldn't even hear the motor of the plane. Well, there ought to be some kind of a spiritual Bose that we could put on that might be able to filter the sound where we can only hear then the voice of the shepherd. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But the challenge is still there. That's the challenge, really, of our spiritual life. You know, and some of us, you know, in many different ways, we're prone to hear some noises more than others. You know, I was thinking of going to an audiologist and see if the doctor could fix my condition because I have this unusual condition that in the course of a day, I can have 25 people compliment me on something absolute that I've done and really grateful for and really, you know, very pleased about. And one person has something nasty to say, but I'll be darned if not for the rest of the day, that's all I can think about is that one person, okay? Now, I'm sure the audiologist would probably roll her eyes and say, maybe see somebody else. But I think that's our condition that we live with today. We hear all kinds of voices and so many different ways. How in the world can we zero in on the voice that is the Good Shepherd speaking to us? There are so many voices promising us so many things, pleasure and happiness, telling us you really need one of these, you know. Voices that are so deceptive, promising us stuff they can't deliver. This morning, early in the morning, listening to the radio, someone was giving a caution, saying, beware of a handyman calling you and taking advantage of the flood situation, saying, oh, if you got basement damage or whatever, we can take care of that for you. Yeah, be sure we'll be careful about that, right? Oh, everybody's offering us special deals. How do we sort all that out in our life? And especially, it becomes especially serious when the promises that people make to us or a society gives to us that promises us fulfillment in life. Maybe, maybe not, right? So how do we listen? How do we tune in? How do we filter the noise so that we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? This is truly the blessing of this Easter season, to be able to take the time to really focus in such a way that we really hear, both in the scriptures and in the prayers and the Mass during this Easter season, the voice of the Good Shepherd who offers us his peace, his mercy, his compassion, his presence. But sometimes I think we're just like, as I say, my own weakness of, you know, listening to 25 good comments and getting fixed and fixated on the one negative one. We do the same thing, I think, in our relationship with the Lord. One thing goes wrong in our life, and immediately it's like, where's God now, huh? What about all the other times? What about all the other blessings that we've had in life? What about all the wonderful message that the Lord has to offer us daily? And again, pick up on that during this Easter season as you listen, you know, focus in, try to radar, use your radar to focus in on the message that he's trying to give us. Now today, he says, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Eternal life? Gee, you mean I got to pay income tax forever, eternally? Pope Benedict, I think it was his first encyclical on charity, on love, picked up on this. He said some, especially a younger generation, hears the term everlasting life and say, oh my gosh, everlasting? You mean I got to put up with all this stuff forever and ever and ever? No, of course not. Maybe a better expression would be everlasting love rather than everlasting life, because life will be different. Life will be different. We will be freed of all those things that burden us now. We won't need a Bose to knock out the noise, the bad noise. He offers us a life that is rich. You know, that's the beauty of this Easter season, to tune in on that, so that we hear his voice and we allow that good news, that message of the shepherd, to really sink in deep. So that when we do hear other noise, we're able to rest in his peace and filter the rest out. As we celebrate this Eucharist, then the shepherd invites us to his table. Let us hear his voice inviting us here as he invites these three children today for the first time to the Lord's table. May we rejoice with them in the gift that is ours.